中文的话，我们在隔壁的房间有中文的翻译，那我们在这边是用英文来做这个讲座，隔壁会有英文，同时有中文的翻译，所以你如果听不懂的话，你恐怕你听不懂，欢迎到隔壁的房间去，好不好？ What I just say was, what I just say was, we're going to conduct the seminar in English here in the main sanctuary hall. At the same time, we're going to do Chinese translation for those people who need a Chinese translation in the next hall, social hall. All right? Well, I'm glad to see everybody. Tonight, I feel I'm truly a minority. Usually, I come to this church, everybody is like me, Chinese. But today, I'm very happy to see all the Caucasian, American, from different ethnicity. It's really a privilege to host such a seminar for all the people and for the whole community. The purpose of this creation science seminar is for us to learn the scientific evidence that can help us to explain creation and flood as written in the Bible. However, this may be a controversial topic in nature. We ask you to keep an open mind to hear and to see the evidence and maintain a courteous conduct during the meeting. You may have different opinions, and we respect that. You may have many questions. We know that. We ask you, please allow time for speaker to finish the presentation. Then we will have a Q&A session at the end of the session tomorrow afternoon. At that time, you can ask all the questions you have. So just hold on to it. The proper and courteous conduct are expected during our meeting. If behavior are not acceptable, the legal authority will be contacted. And also, please be noted that the information presented here are not necessarily our church position. Having said all that, may God bless you and your family, and have a great time. I'm going to turn the time to Eric Hoven.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. All right. Well, it truly is a pleasure for me to be here. I'd like to thank Peter and Amy so much for all the work that they've done in putting this together. And I want to thank you guys for being here and being willing to be a part of this. A couple announcements as we get started. The reason all that was said is because there were threats of, you know, something might happen, somebody might get a little unruly, so we just had to say all that up front so that if somebody does act that way and they take action, well, they know they had fair warning, all right? If you got a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to turn it off or turn it on vibrate. If you don't do that, I'm going to ask you to call somebody and tell them to come here tonight, all right? If it rings, you better pick it up and say, where are you? You're supposed to be here, no matter who it is, all right? All right, there we go. Well, it is absolutely my pleasure to be here. My name is Eric Hovind, and I travel and speak on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Just so you know, we have got a lot of things to accomplish in a short amount of time. I mean, a lot of things to accomplish. We, just so you know, how many of you already knew about the movie coming out this weekend called Expelled? How many already heard about that? All right. How many of you have not heard about this movie? Okay. How many don't understand either one of these questions? All right. We have got tickets to Expelled right here from the producers of the movie. We sent three of our staff to go preview the movie. Comes out today. Some people are already watching it right now. Wow, good movie. Tomorrow after the session, no guarantee on ticket availability, but at 7:40, if you'd like to join me, I'm going to see the movie Expelled at the theater that's not very far away from here. It has an 8 in the name. West Park 8, thank you. At West Park 8, we're going to see the movie Expelled at 7:40. If you'd like to join me, I'd love to have you. We're going to be giving away a couple tickets. In order to get a couple tickets to Expelled, all you got to do is fill out this information, and this is our way of getting your email address. Ah, the prize thing that you don't want to give out anymore because of spam. Well, we don't do spam. What we do is about twice a month, we send out what's called Creation in Common Sense. There are these little news articles that have to do with a relevant topic on creation, and our ministry really tries to take everything down to about a fourth grade level, because that's where we're at. And so we bring it down to a common sense level so everybody can understand that. So if you'd like to get Creation and Common Sense, or if you just, you know, want to unsubscribe after you get it and try to win the free tickets, you are going to do that by filling out these cards. I'm going to have these two gentlemen pass these cards out. So, and afterwards, I'm going to give them each $1 million. All right. Just take a chunk and hand them down each row, and then if you got extras, that's fine, all right? Like I said, we got a lot to cover. We're going to take a break in about 50 minutes, just so you know, okay? We got about 15 minutes before we take a break. At the break is when you'll take that and just give it to somebody at the back table back there where we have our materials available. You'll just take it and drop it off there, and then right after the end of the second session, bam, we're going to pull one out, or actually a couple out, and see who the winners are of the free tickets to Expelled, the movie. Just in case you haven't heard of it, let me just tell you what it is. Ben Stein went around and interviewed people when it came to, interviewed professors, when it came to how they were treated if they questioned Darwinian evolution. He was surprised to find out how many people were ridiculed, demoted, or fired just because they questioned the sacred idea of evolution. And as you will learn tonight and tomorrow, evolution is a very, very, very carefully protected state religion. We've got a state religion called evolution that is incredibly well protected, and we are trying to expose the truth about that, and this movie, Expelled, does just that. All right, you guys ready to get started now? Those are my announcements. We're all good to go? If anybody needs some of those cards, they'll be available on the back table as well if you didn't get one, all right? All right, like I said, we have got a ton of stuff to cover, so we are going to go really fast. Ben is the translator over there for the Chinese in the Chinese language, so hey, Ben, good luck. I'm going really fast tonight. We have got a ton of things to do, okay? Just so you know, right up front where I'm coming from, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that the Bible is the infallible, inspired, and inerrant word of the living God. And I believe this book from cover to cover. I even believe the cover on my Bible. It says Eric Hovind, and I believe that. And for those of you who do not know, the Bible is our basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. It would be wise for you to read those instructions and then obey them. Men, this is sometimes difficult, isn't it? The whole instruction manual thing, yeah. This is one that I do not want you to mess up, okay? Because when it comes to your life, you can't undo a few bolts and do the project over again. You got one shot. Please read the instruction manual and obey it. Do what it says. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that we are supposed to be ready to give an answer for what we believe in. We're supposed to be able to tell people why we believe what we believe. We have found that when it comes to the creation evolution topic, many Christians do not have the answers when it comes to the Bible or when it comes to science in dealing with the creation evolution subject. You're supposed to know why you believe what you believe. And that's what these seminars are designed to do, is to help you understand why you believe what you believe. Got a couple goals for this seminar. First of all, I want to strengthen your faith in the Word of God. I want you to leave here understanding that God's Word is true from cover to cover. Second, if you're here and you're not saved, I want to convert you. I want you to see the truth about God's creation, and I want that to lead you to the truth about how He sent His Son as a Savior, not as a helper, not as a coach, not as a guide, not as a psychiatrist, as a Savior. You need saved, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. And then number three, if you're here and you are saved, but you're not doing a whole lot for the Lord, I want to make you uncomfortable. Or to put that positively, I would like to motivate you, okay? I want to see you get busy for God and do something that's going to matter in eternity. That's what's really going to make the difference. Now, we tell people all over, there is a war going on. If you're not going to shoot, you better at least carry bullets, but you have to do something. Everybody, we've discovered, can do something. Even the worst of you out there can do something. You can serve as bad examples, if nothing else. So everybody can do something. Now, these are not my parents. It's actually just a picture of them. By the way, my dad says hi to everybody, so hello from my dad to everybody out there. My mom is a piano teacher there in Pensacola, Florida, and she is probably the reason CSE is in existence today still, because, wow, my dad has one awesome wife. I've got one incredible mom. I was born at a very early age in Kankakee, Illinois. And I was actually born at home. My dad delivered me himself. And I was born at home because, of course, that's where my mom was. And I kind of wanted to be close to her during that time. I was pretty amazed by the things I saw. Matter of fact, I did not speak for nearly a year. That's how amazed I was. Rather deformed, no hair, no teeth, couldn't walk, and couldn't talk. But now here, 29 and a half years later, I get to travel around and do exactly what my dad does, speak on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. I've been married for 7 wonderful years. It's been about 8 and a half altogether, but 7 of those have been wonderful. Just kidding. My wife, Tanya, and I have been married coming up this July will be 9 years. Absolutely amazing that she has put up with me that long, so thank you, Tanya. Appreciate that. And we've got 3 children, 1 of each. There they are right there. We got our oldest daughter, Stephanie, middle daughter, Angelina, a little bit too much like dad. You know how it goes, that second one of the same, you know, woo, trouble. But anyway, then we got a son, Jordan, who is 15 months old now, and wow, man, I tell you what, he already loves wrestling and pulling hair, and it's great, man. I love my little boy, Jordan, so he is a handful. I've got a brother and a sister, Kent and Marlissa. We are, let's see here, 28, 29, and 30, about to be 29, 30, and 31, so I'm about to cross the big 3-0. I'm getting a little nervous, I'll be honest with you. You guys are like, that ain't nothing. Okay. Well, I'm getting nervous. Anyway, we all work for our ministry there at Creation Science Evangelism. I get the opportunity to lead our team there as we travel around the world and present this incredible life-changing message of creation and evolution. We live in Pensacola, Florida, just a little bitty short drive down Interstate 10. If you ever want to hop in the car and take Interstate 10 for a little drive, and then another little drive, and then another little drive, and you know, about 3 weeks later, you might find Pensacola right there off of Interstate 10. We got about 25 families that help us out there, and it is absolutely amazing the people that God has brought to our ministry to help us accomplish what He wants us to do, and that's to tell others about Him using the creation message. So I'm absolutely thrilled that we get to do this and we get to be a part of this, and we need to get a lot of things accomplished. Why do we do what we do? I'll tell you right now, I do not leave my wife and 3 kids because I like being gone from home. Nothing could be further from the truth. No offense, but if it's you or them, I prefer them. Now, I don't get that luxury because we are in the middle of a war. There is war going on, and somebody's got to do something. And I decided that I'm going to be one of those somebodies that doesn't just carry bullets. I'm going to get out there and do something. By the way, if there's any military personnel here, I respect you. Thank you for serving our country. I really, really appreciate that. You guys have to be gone for months at a time. My longest call of duty so far is 3 weeks on trips like this. I've never had to be gone for months at a time, so my utmost respect to those in the military. I appreciate you serving our country so faithfully. The reason we do what we do is because we want to change people's worldview. We want to bring them to Christ. It's amazing that a little bit of information, like what is contained in this 17-hour seminar, don't worry, we're not doing it all tonight, but in the 17-hour seminar that my dad has put together, how just having that information can totally change your decision-making when it comes to your life and what you believe. Having the truth makes all the difference in the world, okay? Now, there are 4 great questions that man will attempt to answer in this life. Everybody at one time or another is going to try to answer these questions. Here they are. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here, and where am I going when I die? Now, the way you answer these questions will depend on your world view, the way you look at this world. See, there's a couple different ways to look at this world. Some people look at this world and they say, wow, it's absolutely amazing that a Big Bang made this world from absolutely nothing. This is called the humanist worldview. It says that man is God, and we don't have to answer to anybody when we die, the humanist worldview. Well, that's one way to look at the world. Another way to look at the world is to say, wow, what an incredible design. There must have been an incredibly smart designer, you might say intelligent designer, lest I use those words, an intelligent designer, a smart guy that made this world. That is called the creationist worldview. It's the one that says, look, God is God, and He's going to judge us all in the end. By the way, just a little side note, in case you're not on this page yet, God really is God. And Judgment Day is coming soon to a city near you. You need to be getting ready for that day of judgment. You say, I don't believe in God and Judgment Day. I'm sorry, stand in the middle of the road and don't believe in trucks. It's not going to help, all right? It's really going to happen. It's really coming. Now, just so you know exactly what we're talking about over tonight and tomorrow, we'll cover this a few more times for the guys because I know what that's like. There are two basic ways to look at the world, the creation worldview and the evolutionary worldview. Here they are on a timeline scale, okay? According to creation, we believe that about 6,000 years ago, that's when God created the heavens and the earth. Then about 4,400 years ago, there was a flood that destroyed the world. 2,000 years ago is when Jesus Christ came. And now here we are today in the year 2008 waiting for God to come back, which could happen right now. I always thought it'd be cool if he came when I did that. He hasn't yet. We compare that to the evolutionary worldview. The evolution worldview says that 20 billion years ago there was a Big Bang. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that here in just a second. Hang on. Then nothing happened for a long time. 4.6 billion years ago, that's when the earth cooled down and it formed a hard rocky crust. And then it rained on the rocks for millions of years and turned it into and created oceans. And then the oceans mixed with the rock and made something called soup. Pretty cool. And then 3 billion years ago, the soup came alive. Woo! And found somebody to marry. Pretty good trick. And something to eat. Another really good trick. And now here we are today, ladies and gentlemen, after 3 billion years of evolution. Aren't we proud of ourselves and how far we've come? It's absolutely stunning. Those are the two basic worldviews. You get to choose which one you want to believe. You can believe that God did it, or you can believe that it came about all by itself. Whichever one you want to believe in, you get to believe in it, okay? Now, understand, Sir Arthur Keith, the devout evolutionist, said this. The conclusion I have come to is this. The law of Christ is incompatible with the law of evolution. Nay, the two laws are at war with each other. It doesn't take very long in studying the creation-evolution topic to figure out one of them is wrong. And we enjoy showing them who it is. That's what we get to do full time, show people that they're wrong. But it doesn't work very good with my wife, though. I haven't quite figured out how to translate that over. That's a whole other subject, though. Anyway, we enjoy showing people the truth because we may not be smarter, but when you're right, you're right. It's just that simple, okay? This lady wrote a book called May the Farce Be With You. She said, Darwin's dangerous idea should have made atheists out of everyone, yet the vast majority of students who learn about evolution in public schools still believe in God. Either they doubt what they're taught in biology class or are content keeping evolution and religion in separate lobes of their brain and never the two shall meet. And that's the truth. When you study creation and you study evolution, it doesn't take very long to figure out both cannot be true. And in case you're confused on that both can be true thing and you think, yeah, maybe God used evolution, tomorrow morning we're going to tackle that. Is it possible that God used evolution, which is the idea of the religion that death and suffering brought things into this world, in order to evolve, the other things have to die off? That's not the God I serve. The God I serve made it right the very first time, and he told us how he did it. He's pretty good. He said he did it in 6 days, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow morning, just in case you're confused about that, okay? Now, suppose we believed in evolution, and we had to answer the four fundamental questions of life. What kind of conclusions would we come to? Question number one, who am I? Well, according to evolution, who are you? Yeah, really, you came from dirt. You're just a little bit of protoplasm that washed up on a beach about 4 billion years ago. What about number two? Where did I come from? According to evolution, where do we come from? The soup, yep. If you go back farther, the big, the cosmic belch 20 billion years ago. What about number three? Why am I here? According to evolution, what is the purpose to life? There isn't one, is there? Yes, there is, to pass on your genes. That doesn't make a lot of sense. That's not some high and mighty purpose in life, is it? According to evolution, there's absolutely no purpose to life. What about number four? Where am I going to go when I die? If evolution is true, where are you going when you die? Back down into the ground. That's exactly right. You're going to get transformed into a worm or a plant or whatever comes along first, but you ain't going nowhere when you die unless you've got a guaranteed not to leak casket. Did you know they make those? Caskets that are guaranteed not to leak. You can get a 20-year guarantee, a 40-year guarantee, or a lifetime guarantee, whichever one you want on a casket. Now, I believe in creation, and so I answer these questions very differently. I believe in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And because I believe that statement right there, my outlook on life, the way I answer those four fundamental questions, is very different than those that believe in evolution. And we're going to come to two totally opposite conclusions about what life is all about based on our belief system, creation or evolution. Now, where did evolution get started? Check it out here. Satan, the serpent, said to the woman in the Garden of Eden, remember when this happened, Genesis chapter 3? He said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Question mark. The very first thing Satan did was question God's word. Guess what? He's still doing the same thing today. He's still trying to get you to question God's word. Look at the second thing he said. He said, "Oh, Eve, you shall not surely die." Now he's denying God's word. He doubted it, then he denied it, then he deified mankind. He said, "Eve, as a matter of fact, if you eat off of that tree, ye shall be as gods." That is where the idea of evolution got started. It did not start 150 years ago with Charlie. It started 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden with Satan. This idea that man can become God. I mean, after all, we started off as an amoeba. And then slowly, over billions of years, we've gotten bigger and better, stronger and smarter. And one day, we might sail around the universe and discover brand new life forms, like Star Trek. People ask us all the time, "You think there's intelligent life on other planets?" I say, "No, I've traveled quite a bit. I don't think there's much intelligent life on this one, let alone anywhere else." But the Bible is clear about that. Eve is the mother of all living. You know, Satan has done a great job of getting this idea of evolution into many religions of our world today. You know, most major religions in the world today believe in one form or another that man can become God. The Mormons have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. If you're a good Mormon down here on earth, you get to go to heaven and start your own universe. Hey, ladies, if you're a good Mormon wife, you are blessed. Oh, you get to go to heaven and be eternally pregnant. Sounds like fun, eh? Wow, producing spirit babies. My wife said, "I don't think I want to go to paradise." No thanks if it's like that, all right? Satan is really the one that wants to be God. Lucifer said in his heart, "The five I wills." He said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mounts of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Satan is the one who really wants to be God. However, that job isn't available. See, God is kind of filling that role. He's God, and he knows it, and Satan wants to be God, but he can't be God. So he's mad at God, but he can't do anything to God because he's God. So instead, he turns it around on us, and he gets mad at you, and he gets mad at me. Why in the world would he do that? Well, that's because you and I are made in the image of God. We're made in God's image. You ever wonder why Satan hates you? You ever wonder why he wants to destroy your life? Every time he looks at you, you remind him of God. And he hates God. And you are made in God's image. Adolf Hitler said, "If you tell a lie long enough, loud enough, and often enough, the people will believe it." That is the truth. He also said, "Hey, how you guys doing tonight? Good to see you. Thanks for coming." He also said, "People are more likely to believe a big lie than a small one." Boy, is that the truth. If you're going to tell a lie, now kids, are you supposed to lie? But if you do, tell a big one, okay? People are more likely to believe a big lie than a small one. That is just kind of the way it works, okay? Now, some people think that we are against science. We are not against science whatsoever. We love science. My dad taught high school science for 15 years. He even got his Ph.D. in education. He liked teaching it so much. That stands for post-hole digger, by the way. We've got two of them now. But we love science. I, in school, did exceptionally well in science, D+. So we like science. We are not against science. We really do enjoy it. But the problem is some poison has gotten mixed in with the textbooks. a big lie has been gotten mixed in with the science textbooks. Just to prove that we're not against science, by the way, we built Dinosaur Adventureland down there in Pensacola, Florida. It's a place where you can come and learn all about science and how it ties right in with the Bible. It is so cool. We've had a lot of people come to Dinosaur Adventureland. We've had over 80,000 people from all 50 states and 35 foreign countries now come visit Dinosaur Adventureland. So, like I said, a little short drive on Interstate 10. Come check out Dinosaur Adventureland. Really, really cool place. And we got all kinds of science experiments, activities to do, as well as a creation museum. There's our 7.5-foot-long snake. Her name is Rocky. She ate a kid last week. Shouldn't have to eat for another 3 months. Those snakes are amazing, I'm telling you, absolutely amazing. But anyway, we shot a T-Rex. We got a 3D cave crawler. I don't have time to go into all this, but you really got to come check out Dinosaur Adventureland or Giant Swing. Come pet the dinosaurs, fossil dig pit, fun stuff. We also teach homeschool classes, and I got several of those that we offer online. If you want to check those out, got some really cool homeschool classes. Who is that goofy-looking guy? Oh, hey, and there's me. Cool. We love science. We even collect the science textbooks. I mean, we have got a huge collection of public school science textbooks. My mom is sick and tired of collecting science textbooks, but we still do it, okay? She puts up with it. And we love checking it out. Matter of fact, we like science this much. I think I've got these with me here. Now, we do not have time to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. I'm going to teach you real quick the scientific way to shoot a rubber band. For this, I'm going to need a volunteer. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for volunteering. Come on up here. And yes, sir, right there. Come on up here. Thank you for volunteering. All right. Each of you gets one rubber band. All right. Now, you're going to pick out anybody in the audience, and you're going to aim. Just kidding. We're going to actually just shoot right down this aisle, so if you get hit, I'm sorry. Okay, I know this is California, and you could sue us and all, but we're just going to go ahead and do this anyway. So we're going to let ladies go first. What's your name? Stephanie. That's my daughter's name. And Joshua. I don't have a son named Joshua, so that's not near school. But Stephanie, we're going to let you go first. We're going to see how far down the aisle you can get your rubber band to go. Go ahead, Stephanie. Oh, right back there. Okay, all right. All right, don't let the guys down here, Joshua. We are depending on you. Wow. Maybe you ought to just throw it. Hey! Oh, so close, so close. Not bad, Joshua. All right, stay up here, stay up here, stay up here. Now, I'm going to shoot mine the scientific way. If you're real quiet, you'll hear it go through the air. Are you ready? Listen. Joshua, right now, because I know you, because you look mischievous, you have a question that has 5 words in it. Go ahead and ask that question. Anybody know the question that has 5 words in it? How did you do that? That's exactly right. All right. I'm going to teach you how to do that. Now, I want you to notice when I do this, my fingers will never leave my hands at any time. Okay? The rubber band has got 2 sides to it, Stephanie. This side is called the spirit. This side is called the flesh. Okay? The spirit and the flesh. Now, your spirit has to live inside your flesh, otherwise you're dead. Okay? Then you've got a problem. Actually, the neighbors have a problem. But if you were to shoot the rubber band and you put the same amount of emphasis on the spirit as you do on the flesh, when it goes through the air, the spirit and the flesh will be bouncing back and forth off each other, hitting each other, making it slow down. It's wasting a lot of energy on internal turbulence. So the secret to high-speed velocity through a fluid medium, such as the atmosphere, which of course offers resistance, is to minimize or eliminate the turbulence, right? Here's how we're going to do that. We're going to stretch the spirit really tight, put a lot of emphasis on the spirit, put very little emphasis on the flesh. When you do that, the spirit leads the flesh in a circle, and it actually goes through the air in a circle as it goes through the air. So you put a whole lot of emphasis on the spirit and not a lot on the flesh, and the clock, oh, just sure, on top of the camera. Man. Ha-ha. All right, if you guys want to go get those, you guys get to keep those. Anybody else would like to buy one? They're $27 a piece, all right? Thank you. Hey, give Josh and Stephanie a hand. Appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Ah, There's nothing like going to the office with a little extra ammunition and knowledge on how to shoot a rubber band. The office will never be the same again. Kids, if you use these in school, you're in trouble, not me. Okay? I'm telling you that right now. We like good science. How many? We had a group here beforehand. We showed them the scientific way to make a paper airplane. How many of you saw the paper airplane? Were you guys impressed? These paper airplanes go 400 plus feet. Matter of fact, they go so far, if they don't land on top of a building or in a tree, they go all the way to the ground. Yeah. Anyway, we shot one of those. We'll do more paper airplanes tomorrow during the lunch break, okay? Really, really cool. We shot one out here, and it made it on top of the building over there. I don't know my direction, but anyway, it was right out there that we did that. Really cool. So we're not against science. We like science. We love science, but we are against a poison that's being mixed into the science textbooks, okay? Now, kids, you might see one of your science textbooks here. We love science, but the poison that's being very thoroughly mixed in with it is dangerous, extremely dangerous, okay? Here's how they teach the kids the evolution. Here's how they mix the poison in with the textbooks. Here it is. First grade textbook. Look at what it says here. Earth has changed much since its formation 4.5 billion years ago. Now, if you tell that to a kid in first grade, is he going to believe you? Yeah, why? First graders believe anything you tell them, okay? Then you tell them the same thing in second grade. Boys and girls, since its formation 4.5 billion years ago, Earth has changed. Down at the bottom it says, life too has evolved on Earth. Now that word evolved is a very tricky word. There are many different types of evolution. I know you thought there were only one. There are actually six. Six different types of evolution. One of them has to do with science. The rest of them have nothing to do with science. And if you define those terms and you really get people to understand what the true definitions of what evolution is, you will end the debate right there. They won't argue with you anymore. You see, science is knowledge that is derived from observation and study, okay? Science is things that we can see, test, and demonstrate. That's what science is. Well, is evolution part of science? Things that we can see, test, and demonstrate. Let's find out. Definition number one of the word evolution is cosmic evolution. That would be the origin of time, space, and matter. Talking about the Big Bang. You know, the Big Bang began time, space, and matter. By the way, time, space, and matter is a continuum. You cannot have one without the other. You have to have all three at the same time. Also, just a cute little interesting note, did you know that the Bible in the very first verse in 10 words tells us how those three came into existence at the exact same time? In the beginning, time, God created the heavens and the earth, space and matter. Wow. 10 words, he created all three, time, space, and matter. But let me ask you something. Can we see, test, or demonstrate the Big Bang? So could we call it part of science? No, we cannot. What about the second type of evolution, chemical evolution? According to evolution, the Big Bang happened and it produced a lot of hydrogen and helium. And then all the other elements, all 105 elements, just evolved. How do you get that to happen? I mean, where did we come up with iron and carbon and all these things? Just some hydrogen and helium. Can we see, test, or demonstrate that? So should it be called part of science? No, it's not part of science. Then we got stellar and planetary evolution. How did all the stars form? I don't know if you've counted them lately, but there's a lot of stars out there. I mean, lots of them. How did they all form? You know, scientists have never seen one star form. They've seen several stars blow up. Those are called novas or supernovas. And they like to talk. I love watching the Hubble podcast because it comes in HD and it takes up like a lot of room on my computer. But it's so cool because they're talking about these star-forming regions. But yet they've never seen a star form. They just think that, oh, that looks like a star-forming region. Yeah, cool. But they've never seen one form. We've never seen a star form. All we see is stars blow up, novas and supernovas like that. Never, ever seen one form. And there's a lot of stars out there, guys. You know, current estimates are there are enough stars out there that every single person on Earth could own 11 trillion of them. You can own 11 trillion of your own stars. Go name them. Have fun. Wow. That is 70 sextillion stars. That's the number 70 followed by 21 zeros. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? Evolution teaches us that the Big Bang occurred about 20 billion years ago. How do you get 70 sextillion stars in 20 billion years? By the way, those are only the ones that we know about. We don't know about the ones that we don't know about. How do you get 70 sextillion stars to form in 20 billion years? That's the equivalent of 3.5 trillion stars forming every single year, or, do the math, 6.5 million stars forming every single minute for 20 billion years to get 70 sextillion stars in 20 billion years. We should be seeing 6.5 million stars forming per minute. It's not happening. There, we don't see, test, or demonstrate stellar evolution, okay? So that one's definitely off the map. It's not part of science. Then we got organic evolution. How do you get life to form from non-life? I mean, serious evolutionists, come on. You really think lightning striking a mud puddle is going to create life? No, it's never happened. Can we see, test, or demonstrate that? No. Some people say, well, didn't, you know, Miller and Urey create life in the lab? No, they created a lot of stuff, some amino acids, and a lot of toxins, which I don't know if you know this or not, but they kill life. They did not create life in the lab. Wow. They never, organic evolution, can we see, test, or demonstrate it? Can we get life from non-life today? No, it's not part of science. And then the last one, oh no, next to the last one, macroevolution. Macroevolution would be changing from one kind of animal into a totally different kind of animal. Now that would be amazing. I want to see the dog produce something that is not a dog. You guys like they did, the Chihuahua. Okay, well, I kind of agree with you, but, I mean, really, show me a dog produce something that is not a dog. You know there's over 250 varieties of dogs in the world today? And you know when dogs reproduce, guess what they reproduce? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Did you know farmers, when they farm their land and they plant corn, you're not going to believe what they expect to grow up out of the ground. Corn! Farmers count on evolution not happening. They don't want their corn to produce, you know, tomatoes and hamsters and whales and stuff like that. They want their corn to produce corn! Macroevolution does not happen. There's a variety of dogs in the world today. Maybe even the dog, the wolf, and the coyote had a common ancestor. But I guarantee you, it was not a banana. Tell you what, let's take a little quiz here. You, sir. Up on the screen, we see a dog, a wolf, a coyote, and a banana. Which one does not look like the others? The banana! Give him a hand! Yeah! Whoa! Smarter than the average scientist today. Courtesy of the way of the master, $1 million. Don't spend it all in one place. Man. See, scientists today are kind of confused about it. They think all life is related. Ooh. Yeah, the dog and the banana, if you go back far enough, are all related because we all came from that amoeba that got started in the mud puddle because of the lightning bolt. That's really what evolution believes. It is silly. It really is that silly, okay? Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that animals are always going to bring forth after their kind. That's all they're ever going to do is bring forth after their kind. Dogs are always going to produce. Cats are always going to produce. Frogs are always going to produce. Tadpoles, actually, is what they produce. But anyway, that's another subject. Now, the last type of evolution we have is called microevolution. Micro means small. That would be referring to the variations within a kind. Okay? Like the dogs producing the variety of dogs. Does that happen? Yes. Can we see it, test it, and demonstrate it? Yes. So can it fit the realm of what science is? Yes. But the rest of those cannot. They have to be put into the realm of a religion. You're welcome to believe it if you want. But understand, you believe it, it's not part of science. That goes into a religious view that you, whether you believe it or not, base your life on. You base your life on what you believe, and if you believe you're nothing but, you know, a cosmic accident that occurred and now here you are and you got to make the best out of things, then you're going to act accordingly. If you believe you're made in the image of God, you're going to act very differently. Teachers are taught. They say, teachers, this is from the teacher's manual, be sure to stress that the earth is 4.5 billion years old. Why are they supposed to stress that? Why don't they try stressing some real science like the first law of thermodynamics? Anybody know what the first law of thermodynamics is? Exactly right. That's exactly right. Matter cannot be created. Oh. Cheater. Okay. Matter can't be created or destroyed. Well, groundbreaking news here. You're made out of matter. I'm made out of matter. Pews are made out of matter. Building is matter. Everything we have here is made out of matter. The air is made out of matter. Well, this is a law in science that tells us matter cannot be created, and at the same time, it cannot be destroyed. So, I got an obvious question. Where did it come from? Isn't that kind of a logical question? I mean, here we have a whole bunch of matter. If it can't be created and it cannot be destroyed, how'd it get here? That's what I want to know. How did the matter get here? There's two choices. Choice number one, somebody made it. Choice number two, it made itself. There's no other choice. Actually, I take that back. There's one other choice. There's a few people out on the lunatic fringe that would say, Eric, we're not really here at all. We just think that we're here. And there really are people out there like that. I won't tell you what state they're really popular in. But anyway, there really are people that say, hey, we're not really here at all. We just think we're here. We're going to ignore them. We are here. The Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, evolutionists, the humanists, they do not want you to believe that. No siree. Matter of fact, the first tenet of the Humanist Manifesto says, humanists regard the universe as self-existing. It was not created. Well, how do you get the world to make itself? That's a pretty good trick. And so they got some really smart guys together, and they thought, how do we get the world to make itself? And they came up with the Big Bang. How many of you have heard of the Big Bang before? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, they came up with this Big Bang idea, and basically the Big Bang idea says that all the matter in the universe, here's what they say, 18 to 20 billion years ago, all the matter in the universe, that's a lot of stuff. Okay. By the way, the word universe, little side note here, the word universe comes from the Latin language. Now, I know Latin's a dead language, okay? Killed the Romans, not slowly killing us, but it comes from Latin. Two words in Latin, uni and verse. Uni means single. A verse is a spoken sentence. Did you know that we live inside of a universe? We literally live inside of a single spoken sentence. Every time an evolutionist refers to the universe, does he know what he just said? Because I can even tell him what the sentence was. And God said, we live in a universe. We live in a single spoken sentence. That's incredible. Wow. Okay, anyway, back to the textbook. It says, 18 to 20 billion years ago, all the matter in the universe was concentrated into one very dense, very hot region that may have been much smaller than a period on this page. All of it? Sun, moon, stars, planet Earth, women's closets, all of it? Squished into a dot smaller than a period on a page. It's one crowded dot. And heavy. My goodness. And this is not the first time or the last time that this has happened. Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen. You see, all the matter and energy will once again be packed into a small area. This area may be no bigger than the period at the end of this sentence. Then another Big Bang is going to occur. It happens every 80 to 100 billion years. Well, I got some good news. You don't need to worry about global warming. But you do need to look out for global squishing. Okay? We're going to get squished. This guy was brilliant, okay? Look at what he says here. He says, boys and girls, in the realm of the universe, nothing means, how do I say this? Nothing He was smart. He said not only would matter and energy disappear, but also space and time. However, physicists theorize that from this state of nothingness, the universe began in a gigantic explosion. Boys and girls, nothing exploded. Here we are. See how that works? You don't get it? Oh, you don't understand science, man. What? And I'm the idiot? Hold on 1 second here, all right? Let's rethink this just a little bit. Discover Magazine, April 2002. Where did everything come from? I want to know. Let's read it. It says the universe burst into something from absolutely nothing, zero, nada. And as it got bigger, it became filled with even more stuff that came from, you guessed it, absolutely nowhere. How is that possible? We'll just ask Alan Guth. His theory of inflation helps explain everything. You know how I think he came up with that theory of inflation? How else are you going to come up with that? If you tell a lie, tell a... How much bigger can they get, man? Everything came from nothing and it got filled with more stuff that came from nowhere. I'm a scientist. Come on, man. This is ridiculous. That is silly is what it is. Anyway, this dot, this matter that got into the dot, it started spinning and it spun faster and faster and faster and faster. And finally, it exploded. The Big Bang. I got a couple questions about the Big Bang theory, okay? Creationists say that about 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. Evolutionists say 20 billion years ago, there was a Big Bang. So really, we believe in the beginning God. They believe in the beginning dirt. It's kind of what it boils down to here. But, they always try to make it seem like it's religion versus science in the textbooks, by the way. It's religion versus religion. Evolution is a religious worldview. They just don't want to admit it. Because they know nobody's going to pay them to support that religion. I mean, you go start a church revolution and see how much, you know, how many attendees you get. You're not going to get very far. But if you can get the state to sponsor it and have a state-sponsored religion, hey, now you got something going on. And they're going to be pulling the rug out from under that. I'm telling you, evolution is going down. But I want to see where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, the four basic questions. There we go. Where did matter come from? They can't answer the question of where did matter come from. What about where did laws come from? How did we get laws to govern our universe? Laws like centrifugal force, inertia, gravity. Where did these laws come from? And what were to happen if these laws started to evolve? What would happen if the laws started to change? Did you know gravity? If gravity were altered plus or minus by 1%, life would cease to exist on Earth. It is exactly right. How's that possible? That's just one out of dozens of laws that govern our universe. Wow. What about where did energy come from? In order to put everything into a dot smaller than a period on a page, that's going to take some energy. Who bought the gas to run that machine? Where did energy come from? At $4 a gallon. Holy cow. Woo! Hey. You guys know what a merry-go-round is? It's one of those things you go round and round until you puke. You ever been on one of them? I like merry-go-rounds. We got any fourth graders in here? Anybody in fourth grade? Oh, man, that's great. I spent the best 5 years of my life in fourth grade. Loved it. We're going to do an experiment with some fourth graders. We're going to put three of you on a merry-go-round, okay? And we're going to start spinning the merry-go-round clockwise. Now, if you have a digital watch, you may not know what clockwise means. I'll explain it later. We're going to spin the merry-go-round clockwise, and as we do this experiment, you guys are going to go through four very distinct phases. During phase number one, you're going to be screaming, oh boy, this is fun, let's go, faster, faster. We're going to go faster. Up around 30 miles an hour, you're going to enter phase number two. Phase number two is where you stop screaming, and you quietly concentrate on hanging on for dear life. Then up around 60 miles an hour, we enter phase number three. Phase number three is where you start screaming again, only this time you're screaming, stop! But we're not stopping. This is a science experiment. We're going to keep on going, okay? Somewhere between 80 and 100 miles an hour, depending on the strength of the fourth grader, we enter the coveted phase four. During phase four, this is where the kids, one by one, begin to fly off the merry-go-round. You will notice a very interesting phenomenon of physics when this takes place. If the merry-go-round was spinning clockwise, when the kid flies off, wah! He'll be spinning clockwise until he encounters what we call resistance. That's like a tree or telephone pole or something like that. But up until that point, he will be going clockwise. Now, in physics, this is known as the conservation of angular momentum. That's going to be on the quiz. Write it down, okay? Conservation of angular momentum. Basically, all that says is if a spinning object breaks apart in a frictionless environment, the pieces that fly off will be spinning in the same direction. Everybody with me on that? Pretty simple? All right. Well, if we all started from a Big Bang, which is a dot that was spinning and exploded, then everything should be spinning the same direction. But it's not. We got planets in our solar system that spin backwards. Both Venus and, well, they really ought to rename that other one. But anyway, there are two planets that spin backwards in our solar system. There are 8 of the 91 moons in our solar system have a backwards orbit around their planet. How did that happen? There are galaxies that spin backwards. According to the conservation of angular momentum, if we all started from a dot that was spinning and exploded, we should all be going the same direction, but we're not. I'll tell you why. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did it that way on purpose, just to make evolution look stupid. That's why he did it, okay? By the way, we do believe in the Big Bang. The Bible says, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. In the original Greek, that means Big Bang, all right? So there is going to be a Big Bang. It just comes at the end, not at the beginning. That's the difference. Another problem with the Big Bang Theory, then we've got to take a quick break and we'll continue on here in just a second. Another problem with the Big Bang Theory is if the Big Bang Theory were true, everything should be evenly distributed. But it's not. You got clusters of stars and then zillions of miles of nothing. The Big Bang is a big dud. It did not happen. Sorry to burst your bubble. No Big Bang. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now what about the second law of thermodynamics? Everything tends toward disorder. According to evolution, we're getting bigger and better. Second law of thermodynamics tells us everything tends toward disorder. Starting to feel that a little bit. How does that tie in with evolution? What does that science tell us? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, we're going to take a break. If you got to fill out one of those cards, I invite you to drop that off back there. And we will have the drawing at the end of this next session. Before you get up, there's a couple of announcements that Peter would like to make. Thank you, Peter.
The restroom is right outside in the lobby on the left side, to your left. Tomorrow morning, our seminar will start at 10 o'clock sharp. So come early to get your seat. During the lunchtime tomorrow, we prepare a Wagyu lunch sandwich with chip, banana, and drink for only $3. Now, we are not in a very commercialized area, so if you want to find McDonald's, it's going to be about 5 to 10 minutes drive. So if you like us to prepare this $3 lunch for you, would you raise your hand so we can roughly count the people, and then we can have a co-worker prepare enough for us. So if you want to eat tomorrow lunch, please raise your hand. Otherwise, you have to go find it yourself, all right? Raise higher. Okay, thank you. Now, if you have a burden or God move in your heart to make an offering, financial contribution, please feel free, not for our church, but for Creation Science Evangelism. But we will collect on their behalf. Would you write a check to EFCI? EFCI. And we have an offering box in the back, right at the exit. You will see it when you walk out. And so if you do write in the check, or if you donate in cash or stock, that's fine. Just drop it in there. All right, thank you. Break time.
Ten minutes. 10-minute break. All right, we'll start back in 10 minutes.